It's here. 1739 years ago. That's a long time. 1739 years ago, there was a Baptist by the name of Valentinus, or Valentino. And I want you to understand, this goes back to way back yonder in about 269 A.D. Now, Brother Ray, you're quite a Baptist historian, aren't you? Besides heretics, all churches in 269 A.D. were what? And we're not talking about...
We're all Baptists.
We're all Baptists by what? Practice and... Practice. Now, even if you go back to the period of time when Patrick was alive in Ireland, what kind of churches were there, brother, in that period of time, in Patrick's day? Most of the Baptists, or most of the churches in the world today were, at that time, were Baptist. And Patrick was a Baptist. Now, later on, the Catholic Church canonized Patrick, and they canonized Valentino. And Patrick, they actually stood against him. The Church of Rome stood against him and told him what authority did he have to preach in Ireland. And he told them he had the church that he was a member of in the British Isles that he was sent out. His father was a deacon in that church. Now, and they fought with him. But now later on, you know, later on in life, he became such a famous preacher like Valentino that the Catholic Church decided to claim him. And if you read some of the proclamations of the Catholic Church, they will call Patrick a primitive Baptist, and they will call, or a primitive Christian, that is, and they will call Valentino, or Valentinius, a primitive Christian also. Now, Valentino, or Valens, what does Valens mean? What do you think, what words do we get, what names do we get from Valens? Valerie, Valor, and Valerie. All right. And Valentino. Remember Rudolph Valentino, the famous, very famous movie star, silent movie star. Valens means brave or worthy. On February the 14th, 269 A.D., Valens' life was cut short. He was a pastor of a church. He was part of the Roman Empire. There was a Roman emperor by the name of Claudius II. They called him also Claudius the Cruel. And if you realize that at this period of time, Rome was trying to conquer everything. They were trying to go out and conquer everything. And this Claudius II, he decided that his soldiers, now promiscuity was very rampant in those days, but his soldiers would fight harder and more viciously. And besides that, what reward was a Roman soldier given if he would fight in the army?
Citizenship.
His citizenship. I don't care if he was a foreigner. He was a citizen of the Roman Empire.
Paying taxes.
No taxes.
And a wife, right?
Well, yes, they had a wife. But he decided that his soldiers, if they were married, would not fight with as much valor if they were single.
Right.
Because they might have children, and they might have a wife, and they might be worried about who's going to take care of my wife and children after I die. So, for a period of time, Claudius II forbid people to get married. His men, his soldiers to get, for the men to get married, because if they did, then his soldiers might be not as brave as they would otherwise. Well, we know back in church history at that time that the churches did not have marriage ceremonies, so to speak, did they? What was marriage, Brother Ray?
According to the state.
According to the Bible.
If a coming and consummating.
A man and a woman consummating the act of marriage, and they became married.
Right.
Okay? But the churches, they would come, people would come before the church and make a statement that Christine and George are going to get married. They get up here and they would pray for them, and they would go out and become man and wife. And that's what they would do, okay? Now, they call that kind of blessing the marriage. And Claudius II refused to allow these churches to bless marriages. If they did, they would do on pain of death. Valentino or Valentius, whatever you want to call him, he was in prison for quite a while. The Greek word for valens or valius is oxios, which means worthy, oxios. Now, in the pagan world, they had Eros and Cupid. You ever heard of these? What's Cupid? Can you imagine? Carol, you remember what Cupid looks like? Is there pictures of Cupid? Marilyn? What's Cupid look like?
Huh?
He's a naked baby with a diaper on, running around with a bow and arrow in his hand. Okay? Now, Eros was the god of making up. So they would pray to Eros, and that's where we get the word erotic. When marriages were on the rocky thing, they would pray to Eros to put zeal and passion back in their marriages. And they would pray to this idol, Eros. And they had the idea that, you know, they would strike, and we have these hearts and all kinds of stuff, and we have the Cupid shooting an arrow and sticking in people's hearts and things like that. You know, they're struck with love. Well, that was going on, and then that was February the 15th, by the way, in the pagan world. February the 15th, the pagan world. Valentino was in prison. A Valentine. He was in prison, and he stayed in prison for quite a while. And there was a guard in the prison called Asturos. And Asturos, or Asturias, he had a daughter, and the daughter was blind. Well, Asturias, he listened to Valentine preach, and he was converted. And he was very happy about being a new child of God, but it was very dangerous to be a child of God in that period of time. So Valerius, he brings in his daughter, and she sits there in this prison, and she listens to Valentine or Valentino preach. And she falls in love with him. She just falls in love with this preacher. And the father, Asturias, he asked Valentino, "Do you think God would heal my daughter's blindness if you ask and pray? He's done everything. I read the Bible, you know, or you read the Bible to me, you quoted the Bible to me, and Jesus healed the blind. Do you think that God would heal my blind daughter?" And Valentino said, "We'll pray." And the girl was healed. Her sight was healed. And God made her see. Well, Valentino was convicted of the crime of disobeying the Roman government's edict against marriage because he was blessing marriages in his church. And on February the 14th, 269 AD, he was supposed to be triply killed three times. A triple death sentence. One of them was beating. They would beat him nearly to death like they did Jesus. Beat him with a cat of nine tails. Then they would take him out and stone him. And to make sure that he was dead, they would decapitate him. So he was to be beaten, stoned, and decapitated. This was what was his verdict was. He went along, and the girl would come and there, but that day she did not come, they said. she could not stand to see him leave one last time. So she stayed home and she came back, and Valentino had written her a note. All my love, your Valentine. All my love, your Valentine. And that was a note. And that's the first Valentine card. All my love, your Valentine. Now the girl supposedly took a bush and planted it by her door. It was a rose bush or something. And that every year that rose or that flower would bloom on February the 14th. And that is the legend. How do you girls like that? Very romantic. The little diapered boy with the bow and the hoops and everything, the real story. He was not a Catholic priest. He was a Baptist pastor. All right. Now we're in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, Bereshit. Or I can preach a little out of this, and I can go over there, and I can do a parable study for you also, or I will do both, maybe, if you want. I don't want to wear you plumb out, but we can do that, if you like. We'll start off here in the book of Genesis, 6 and verse 17. Now, this is the Hamabul. Say Hamabul. 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 What is a Hamabul? You remember? Brother Ray, Hamabul.
Yeah, me, brother.
Hamabul. Brother Roger, Hamabul. Okay, Christine. Okay, Sharon, you're the one. Bail us out. Hamabul. Ha, the, Mabul. The flood. The flood. The flood. The Hamabul. The flood. We're going to see that word. We are ne. Can you say this with me?
We
are ne. We are ne. Hene. Mavi. Hamabul.
Hamabul.
Hamabul. Et Hamabul. Maim. All Haaretz. Li Shathest. Kol Basar. Asher. Bo. Ruach. Chaim. Metachath. Hashemayim. Kol. Asher. Baaretz. And then. Yegwa.
What verse is
that? That's 6:17.
Oh, okay.
All right, you got that down there? Well, I probably ought to print some of them off. I didn't get it. We might have some of these, volume one. We ani. Brother Roger. We ani.
And I.
Behold, hine. That is a little what? What is that, an interjection thing there? A little... pay attention, Hine, pay attention, Mavi, I am about to be bringing. That's Hifel participle. I am about to be bringing. Et is what?
Sign
of direct object, Hamabul. Hamabul, the flood. Mayim, the flood waters. Mayim means, now what does this Mayim mean, Brother Roger?
It's a plural.
Lots of waters. Upon Haaretz, the earth. Now, how many sources of water, Christine, were there in this flood?
Three
sources of water. Can you remember them?
From the earth.
The springs of the earth, the bekeh of the earth.
From the oceans
in the sky. A flood, a river run down from the oceans in the sky.
And then rain.
Rain, which they had not known before. All right, three of them. La Shasheth. To ruin, to destroy. And this is PL infinitive. To ruin or destroy. Call all. Basar. Brother Roger, Basar.
It's flesh.
What's the Hebrew, or what's the Greek equivalent of that?
Sarks.
Thank you very much, Eric. Sarks. Asher, which, spirit, which exists, the spirit of Hayim, lives. The spirit of lives. Marilyn was asking me today. We went to the funeral home today. She had made up some little things for my mother that passed away Monday at 4:30. Monday at 4:30, her spirit flew. Her soul flew. We're triune beings. Her body was still there. And the body quit moving, and the body quit breathing, and the heart quit beating. She was separated from us at that time. Separated. The spirit and the soul were gone. And they're gone. Not ever going to come back again in this life. Not like this. Only in the Anastasia. Only in the resurrection. The floodwaters. Hey, epi, hey, epi hey, gay upon the earth. To destroy and ruin all flesh, which breathings of lives from under Hashemayim, from under the, what's Hashemayim mean? Uplifted waters, because the earth was completely surrounded by an ocean of water, completely like a bubble, except a thick bubble, ocean of waters. Now, today, do you think people would believe this? That the earth was surrounded by an ocean of water. How many of you have ever been in a flash flood? You've been in a flash flood, Sharon? Marilyn, you've been in a flash flood. I've been in two or three very bad flash floods. You've been in a flash flood, young lady? Okay, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What happens when the sky just puts down so much water that the ground starts moving? Mm-hmm. I was in Fish Lake Valley one time, and the water was just coming, well, it was dry down in the valley, and I saw all around, completely around, you saw lightning, and it was just rolling. Now, in Hebrew, thunder means what? The voice of God. And you hear all of this up there, and I was sitting there, I was taking a bath out there at the hot tub and just enjoying this by myself. And I got up and got ready to go, and I started going down the road. And I heard something. I felt like the ground was shaking. And I mean, this Jeep had a real high-performance engine in it, and it was kind of loud. But I felt something different, and I shut the engine off. And I could feel the ground shaking. I said, what in the world's going on? It was kept on shaking. Just shook. The ground was trembling. I said, boy, this is really fun, weird, funny. And so I went on pretty soon, and I saw a wall of water as far as I could see. It was actually 2 miles. Now, Marilyn, I've shown you where that is. That river came down 2 miles wide and about this deep, and deeper than that in places. I drove my pickup in that Jeep, which I had a very good sealed ignition system and everything else, but there was trees coming down. You could hear, this was roaring, roaring. Brother Ray, remember when you were down on the creek up there and that creek talked in it? Roaring, 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 roaring. All year long, I could not record all summer long down on that creek because it was so loud. Can you imagine if it was 2 miles wide and rolling boulders and trees were coming down 2 miles wide? That was quite a flood, a flash flood. Now, I was up here at Mount Pinus in probably 1960. Somewhere 59, something like that, with my uncles. We went up there deer hunting. And I had worked at a wrecking yard and $2.50 a day, working like a slave for 12 hours a day, loading iron and stuff. And I went and bought myself a rifle and a sleeping bag and a coat and some new boots with this $2.50 a day. And I put it out there. Now, my uncles were out there and had little tents over them and everything, and I was out there just laying on the ground with my sleeping bag, and here come rain and more rain and more rain and more rain, and the ground started turning yellow with floodwaters. I ended up taking my sleeping bag and me and sitting in a hardtop Jeep, armored military Jeep with an old hardtop on it, shut the door, and sat there all night long shivering because I was soaking wet. Soaking wet. The next day, there were rivers all over the place, and the road was washed out, and we drove that Jeep through water this deep. But it was very lucky because this Jeep was set up with a intake manifold that went up beside the cab and up was up on the front, and you've seen these now, where they could go underwater. And the ignition was waterproof because this was a real military Jeep. But we knocked the axle out of the rear of it because you cannot see when you're in this deep of water, rocks and boulders going all over. Now just imagine, this is what's going on with the earth, except that was just from rain. Now, can rain cause flash floods? All right, now, we know that. There's enough water in the sky to cause these flash floods in it. We've heard it rumble and thunder here, and we've had it rain so hard that the whole yard was just standing. I had to take a plow and plow to keep the water from running into the houses here. I had to plow and run it out into the fields, a little titch, and I mean it was roaring, just like a little river. This can happen. And the water being in the sky deep around the earth was a reality back then, but it was all up there. Now just imagine, we know what rain is. We know what hard rain is. Back in Texas, you had some hard rains, didn't you, Brother Roger? All right, you've been back in different places where it rained, like coming down. And Brother Ray, you've seen the roads wash out up there in Tehachapi.
2 years ago, all the cars got, the semi mud came all the way to his cab.
Yeah.
Took a picture of that
thing. This is flash flood. Can you imagine now? Nobody has ever seen a flash flood. No one has ever seen it rain. No one has seen God open up the floodgates of heaven and just roar down to the earth. Now the earth is going to have hundreds of feet of water on it. Hundreds of feet of water. Let's go on a little bit further.
You talk about it, God brought that up Sunday in our service, about when the water receded and all the gorge and everything, how these rivers, we have never seen rivers like this before.
No.
They were moving mountain rocks, that's all rivers.
That's right.
And rivers they were when that water succeeded.
Yeah.
And I got pictures of those gorges, how they came about.
Yeah. You can look. You go up on the Owens Valley up there. We go up there, and I look at the mountains, and you can see where, like ice, there was ice, glaciers cut through there, just cut down through there. You can see where the water washed. You can see the alluvial fans. Alluvial fan is where the water come down and washed around the mountains and took a lot of dirt with it. You can see all that. And the heavens, and all which in the earth, each and every one shall keep on expiring. Yigva. Yigva. They shall drown. They shall stop breathing. Each and every one shall be dying and breathless. 6:18. Wahakimoth. Wahakimoth, that is. It's mothi. Et Bariti, Itak, Yavata, El, Hativa, Ata, Yuva Nika, Weishtika, Unishi, Vanika, Itaka. And I shall make a cutting. I shall make a cutting. In the middle of this word is to stand and to establish. Koma, koma. To stand and to establish. I shall establish, and I shall cause to stand. I shall have cause to stand. First person construct, singular, hifel, wow, consecutive, perfect. That's what we call future perfect, isn't it? I shall cause to stand et bariti. Now here we get the word the cutting, bariti, the cutting. I shall establish my cutting, the cutting of me. That word in the Latin is constitutio, firma constitutio, firma constitutio. That is, what does constitutio mean? That's Latin. That's a constitution. America has a constitution. And in Latin, also, it is firma constitutio testamentum. In Greek, it's diatheke. So this means a firm, a solid constitution and testament. A solid constitution and testament. I shall cause my constitution testament. with you. By diatheke, et bariti. It talk with you, uvata, and you shall go in. You shall have gone in, that is, you shall have gone in. Second person, masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, perfect. You shall go, have gone in unto El Hativa. Hativa is the ark. That's the ark. What is an ark, Brother Roger? What is it?
This one is a big boat.
A big boat or a box?
Yeah.
And how many stories is it?
Three
stories. Okay, three-story ark. One, two, three stories. But it's their stories there were very tall, weren't they? Not like 10 or 12-foot stories here. This is very tall because how tall was this thing? You remember? 45 feet tall and 75 feet wide. And how long was it? 450 feet long. That's a big boat. There was no boats larger than that until about the 1300s when the Chinese built their ships 340 feet. But no boat in modern times was done this until the 19th and 20th centuries.
This is a large one.
What?
Those are those big tankers that carry all the sea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very large. 450-foot boat is a big boat. And this was made out of what kind of wood?
Cypress.
Cypress wood. Cypress wood. Now, they say that they have found some of this ark up on Mount Ararat over the years, different times. And it dates way back. Unto the ark, unto Hativa, unto the ark, and you, and you, Venika, and your sons, the sons of you, and the Septuagint is hui hui oi, your heirs. By the way, boy, these boys are going to be the whole foundation of the human race. Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the Caucasoids, the Negroids, and the Mongoloids. The whites, the Caucasians, the Negroes, and the Shemites, the Jews. Now, are there any pure Jews in the world? Pure blood Shemites. Was Jesus a pure blood Shemite? Was Jesus a pure blood Shemite?
No.
No. Name me two problems with him being a full blood Shemite. He was a son of David, wasn't he? All right, that's the first legitimate king of Israel. They had Saul before that, but that wasn't God's choice. That was their choice. God always wanted them to have a king, and we know that from Genesis, the 49th chapter, they were going to have a king. God promised a king through Jacob's prophecy. They were going to have a king, and his name was going to be David. It means beloved. But David goes back to who? Jesse. And go on back. Further and further and further, and you're going to find Rahab the harlot. And you're going to find Ruth the Moabitess.
Right.
So was he a pure Shemite?
Yeah, you were saying that.
No. He's related to all of us, thank God. He's related to all of us. And he is all of our Redeemer. All of our Redeemer. Now, all the time, people say, there are no purebred Jews. Well, there aren't any purebred Jews, but I'm going to tell you, there's some pure-minded Jews. And they are agnostic sometimes, but they're egotist, and they are the chosen group, aren't they, according to them?
Yeah, that they are.
If a Jew wants to get saved today, he's going to have to go to church. He's going to have to hear the gospel. There's only one way of salvation. It's not out there in Judaism.
Yeah.
You and your sons. We ishtika, and your wives, and your women. And then it says, yunashi, and the wives of your sons, vanika, and the wives of your sons, and the women of your sons, with you. The genekes. He genekes. That's the word in the Septuagint, your women. Gynecologist, a woman doctor, that's where it comes from in the Greek. And the Greek language is the foundation of all what? Medical terms. And the Latin is the foundation of what? Legal terms. Why is the Latin the foundation of legal terms? You remember?
Is it because it's precise?
Nope. Brother Roger. Why is Latin the foundation of all legal terms? Sharon, why is Latin the foundation of all legal terms? You're next, Marilyn. Why is Latin the foundation of all legal terms?
Medical?
No, I'm not talking about medical, legal. Why is Latin the foundation of all legal? How about Carol? Brother Ray?
Is it because that's the language that they use that were from educated?
You're getting there. You're getting there.
Yeah, it wasn't the common language.
It was not the common language. And who instilled the Latin language? The Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. They had the Bible translated into the Latin Vulgate. And then no one could have a Bible in any other language but the Latin Vulgate, and only the educated would have that. And that is the legal language because the doctors and lawyers all wrote their theses from their education in Latin. And there's where we have the legal terms from Latin. Latin. That's Roman law. Roman law. Roman law. The Holy Roman Empire. Okay? I shall establish my covenant with you, and you shall go unto the ark, you and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives. 6 and verse 19. Yumikol. Hachai. Boy, I have written this up so much I can hardly read it. Mikol. Basar. Shanaim. Mikol. Tavi. Hatavi El, or El Hatavi El. El Hatava. Li Ha Chayath. Itak. Zakar. Univa. Unikava. Unikava. Yeyu. And from all, look at that word, yumiko. Look at that word, yumiko. Now, I know you're not looking at Hebrew, Brother Roger. Yumiko. You is what? And me comes from man. That's a preposition. We have a conjunction. We have a preposition. And then we have all. And from all. Living things. Living beings. Kai apo panto to ketenion he peton therion. That's what it says in the Latin Vulgate. And from all of the living animals, from the hepaton to the therion, from the lizards and things unto the swift-running beast, horses, all of that, bears, therion. And from all flesh, mikol, from all flesh, shanaim, Shani means what? Brother Roger, Shani. Shani. Shani means what? Shani. Shani. It's Shanaim. Shani means to split and divide, doesn't it? All right, from two. Two of every, Mikol, every species, every kind. Kata genos is what it is in Greek. And to every species, Tavi, you shall keep on bringing in unto the ark. Now we're going to find out later on who brought these animals into the ark.
God
led them into the ark. Not him, but you're going to be ready for this to happen. Liha Chaya. To keep alive, Hifel, infinitive construct. To keep alive, that's where Haya comes from. With you, Zakar, male. Yukikafa, and a female, they shall keep on being. They shall keep on being. And verse 20. Mihavuf. Lemenu. Lemenhu. Yumim. Habihimah. Lemena. Miko, Remes, Ha'adama, Lemenhu, Shanayim, Mikol, Yavu, Elika, Lihachayoth. And from the wing flappers. The Latin word, or the, not the Latin, but the Greek word, Zornion ton petenain. All right? Ornio. This is what we call ornithology. This is where they study birds. From the wing flappers. After her specie. And from the ha bihima, from the even the swine, by the way. All of these four-footed creatures running around on 4 feet. And to kangaroos and all of these animals. After her kind, after her limina, after her kind, after her species. And from every, Mikol, and from every creepier, herpetone. This is what you get the word reptiles. From the ground, ha-adama. And after her species, Shanim, too, from every, they shall keep on coming in unto the ark. They shall keep on coming, home, unto the ark, to keep alive. Lihachayoth. That comes from Haya, Chaya, that is. Hifel, infinitive construct. Let's look at 6 and verse 21. Weata. Kach, Lika, Mikol, Ma'akol, Asher, Ya'akal, We'asafta, Elika, We'aha, We'haya, that is. Lika, We'lahem, Li'achifa. Li'achila. See, that's what that is. And you, we'ata, and you, take for yourself, masculine singular, cal imperative, take for yourself from all food which shall keep on being eaten. Well, he shall keep on eating. What is this now? What were they eating?
Fruits and vegetables.
Fruits and vegetables. And grains. And leaves. And plants. That's all they were given to eat, wasn't it? So they're not going to have... They're going to have a lot of bales of stuff in here. And fruit and everything. Now, wine. Many people believe before the flood that wine did not ferment like it does today. Didn't ferment. And after the flood, Noah drank wine, and what happened to him? He got drunk. Because the whole order of everything had changed. After the flood, animals began to eat each other. They got sharp teeth after that. Before, they were eating what? Vegetation. They're all herbivores. They're all plant-eating animals. Now, everything changes. What's the difference between a herbivore and a carnivore? What in their digestive system is different?
Cows have like four stomachs.
Cows have four stomachs and they have a long digestive tract. Now you find out animals that are carnivores, they would have a shorter digestive tract because it doesn't take as much room to get nutrients out of meat as it does vegetation. Okay? And so we have long digestive tracts and short digestive tracts, and all of that takes place after the flood. Do you have any problem with that? I don't. I can believe that. American Indians, after thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of years, after the American Indian, they ate a lot of what? What did they eat for food?
Protein.
Mostly protein. American Indian ate protein. And the digestive tract of American Indian is a little shorter. Now, if you take an Indian or a Mexican from Mexico with a lot of Indian blood in them and put them right on starches and pancakes and breads and stuff like that, what's going to happen to them? They're going to get diabetes because they're not that. What did Europeans eat? Tell me what you're, Sharon, you're a European. What did your people eat?
Barley
and wheat and milk and dairy products. Milk and dairy products. Now, did you know the American Indian does not have an enzyme to digest milk, milk products? They never ate it over here. We're not talking about an evolution, total evolution, but we're talking about the body arming itself to digest what it has. Now, we know that there's cattle, some types of cattle that take more food and less food. And humans, the same way, all of the people. You kind of adapt to your surroundings. Not evolution either. It's just you're adapting the body. God has caused the animals and humans to adapt to their surroundings. And when we abruptly change it, there's problems. You abruptly change a person's diet, they could blow up like a balloon. Even the chemical things. When you take certain medicines, can certain medicines make you or get really thin? Yeah. Certain food. Can you eat certain foods that will blow you up? And you eat other certain foods and you eat the same amount and you can lose a dramatic amount of weight eating different foods. And you have to eat according to your blood type, they say, and to your DNA. That's another thing.
I don't know what mine is, but I eat a European, Indian,
yeah,
whatever race you got, I eat it all.
You eat it all. Well, see, I am, they asked me today what my mother was, what nationality. I said, she is half Cherokee, and she's Chickasaw, Santee Dakota, and Ojibwe is what she actually is. But I said, she's 1/16 white. 1/16 Scott. 1/16 white. And he may be eaten, will be, keep on being eaten. And you shall keep have gathered unto you, and let it have become for you and for them for food. 6:22. This is the last verse in the sixth chapter. The last verse in the sixth chapter. Vayeas Noach Kikol Asher Tiz or Siva Ato Oto, that is Elohim Ken Asa. And he kept on doing, Noah. And we have call here, and or not call, but key on the front of it. Key call. It is key like that in Hebrew. And that means according to all which he had commanded. Look at this word. He had commanded. Tizwa. I'm not talking about Tizwan, that alcoholic drink that the Apaches use. They, by the way, they're the only Indians in America that had alcohol, the Apaches. He had commanded, third person master senior, PL perfect. Him, Elohim. Tell me about Elohim, Brother Roger.
It's a plural of God.
The plural of God, and what it means, it includes all the Trinity of God, doesn't it? The triune God. And it is, all, everybody has an Elohim, everybody has a creator, but only we have a Jehovah. And the Jews don't have Jehovah today. They don't even say his name. but we don't know how to say it either. But we have him, they don't. Ken, so or thus, he had done. Do you have any questions on this? Any questions on this at all?
I do.
I'm sure you do. You haven't been in front of me for quite a while. We have to get you... attuned to your question now.
Okay, so in the Garden of Eden, when the Nahash,
the serpent
allowed Satan to enter him.
Yes.
It was his choice, his
volition. It was his choice. It was
so
his volition.
And I know animals have personalities and
yes, they do.
And wills and mm-hmm. all that.
Animals are made up in what entity? What animals made up? Now, a lot of people will disagree, but the Hebrew won't let me.
Triune.
They have what? They have spirit, ruach. They have nefesh, soul, and they have what else? Basar, flesh. Okay, now, are they triune? Mm-hmm. The Hebrew says they are. People say, oh, they're only dual. They're only spirit and body. And it don't matter, you know, they don't think. You ever heard them, they're dumb animals or unreasoning animals? Have you ever had a dog or a cat that reasoned? Do you ever see them thinking? Mm-hmm. Of course. Horses. Pigs. There's your challenge. Be smarter than a pig. It's a real challenge to be smarter than the average barnyard pig, because pigs are smart.
So my question is, on your last sermon, that because then it tied into this sermon too, back on verse 12, it says, "And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth."
Mm-hmm. All so, right. So, what happened there?
So I know that's when they were eating each other.
Okay, the sixth chapter. What happens in 6 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? We have the Nephilim.
Right.
Now, we have maybe, according to some sources, they believe that the angels were even cohabiting not only with women and bringing forth these monstrosities, these Nephilim, which were man creatures, but they're real big and real strong, because there are angel and crossbreds. But maybe there was hybrids of animals too. Now we know the Nephilim were doing something different than God's people were doing. What were they doing?
Eating animals.
And
each other.
These Nephilim and the descendants of Cain were making weapons. For what? To kill each other and to kill the animals. And the animals were not given to them as food. But they were doing it. And not only they were doing that, but they became vampires. Because they were drinking their blood. So now the animals and mankind are corrupted, and there is a mess of DNA crossing. Yes, Brother Rob. Right.
You know, the first animal was slaughtered, it was in the Garden of Eden, the lamb.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. After they were out of the garden, they were not permitted to hunt these animals or to eat them.
No.
Now, did they kill any of them for any particular reason? For sacrificing only?
For sacrificing only, but they had to have pure animals.
Huh?
They had to be pure. A pure sacrifice.
Okay, I got that. They never used any animals, their hides, or stuff for clothing?
No.
Never did like that?
No. They could use wool and make clothing out of it. The animals, now, as far as I can tell, maybe they could take the skins of the animals that they were offering God, but I don't really think so. Because the animal was offered to God, it was not theirs, was it? The whole offering, the whole sacrifice was theirs.
And did they burn it?
Yeah, they burned it. They burned it. It was all consumed, like a whole burnt offering later on, which typified those offerings back there. And we know that even when Israel was in the land and wandering back in this period of time, they could not kill an animal at home. They had to bring it to the priest, and if you were going to eat your goat, you could not kill the goat at home. You had to bring the goat, and they had to humanely, kosher, kill that goat, and to catch every bit of his blood, and give that blood a burial. Because in that blood was his life. When that blood quit flowing, then he had no life.
But they would take that blood outside the camp.
Yes, right? That's right.
Okay, and they find a real clean spot. That's mm-hmm. where they would.
That's right. That's where they would bury the blood.
They carried it in those containers.
Yes.
Part of the tabernacle.
Yes. They'd carry them in containers, and they would bury that blood with respect of that animal. We have, outside of Judaism, we have American Indians. Now, most of the people that go hunting, they go hunting for trophies, don't they? Trophy, big deer horns and hides and different things, big bear, big sheep, big pronghorn antelope, all of this. They go to Africa and they kill all these animals for trophies, okay? But back then they did not do this. Indians, killed animals, all right. But when they would kill a deer, they would take its heart out, and they would take it and bury it as an honor to that animal, that that animal gave them life. And they would thank God, when you heard me pray, like some savage Indian, thank you, Father, for the animals that gave their lives for us and the fruit from your earth. And they did that. And they would not take it all. They would put some of it back and then pray God that God would reproduce more animals. And they did that. Now, Eskimos up in Alaska, they kill seals and walrus and whales, a lot of them. But the seals especially, they will take the seal and they would kill it. And they would take and put snow in their mouth and melt the snow and give it a drink of water and to thank it for giving its life to them. That's not conquering this thing. This animal is giving its life for you. There's a whole lot different than that and just going out killing. Now, they were eating and drinking the blood of these animals back at this time, period of time. And maybe the angels were, we have in Greek mythology and Roman mythology, we have all of these half-goat and half men, and all kinds of different creatures, which could have been actual creatures before the flood. And maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It says that all of the animals, all of the human flesh, all of flesh was corrupted.
Had become corrupted. Yeah, I was going to say, it says, for my version now, it might say something totally different in the Hebrew. It says, for all flesh had corrupted their way.
That's right.
The earth. So was the animals choosing some of this corruption on their own? Is that why they were wiped out too, or was it mostly?
Do animals have volition? Yes, we know that. Did the snake have volition?
Yes.
All right. Do they have volition? Mm-hmm. Yes. In the Old Testament, even after the law, if an animal was really bad, some bull that would gore things, they were supposed to kill it.
Right.
Not eat it.
They still do that now.
Yeah. They were supposed to kill it. Mm-hmm. One thing they could not do is they could not neuter an animal at all.
Right.
An animal had to have the right to reproduce. So they were forbidden to neuter sheep and goats and bulls and all of that. They could not do that. Horses, all of them, they could not be neutered. And American Indians did not do that either. You'll see a lot of this. Not that the American Indian is part of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, because it is not. But they carry things. The American Indian came from one thought. It came from Adam. And Adam, all the way down through there, they had certain laws and certain practices that they handed down, and it came from God. Some of you have read the book I wrote, An Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of the American Indian, all the stories. I put a lot of them out on the website. And I talked about that, and I was trying to reach my people, the American Indian, because the missionaries came over here and lied to them, turned them into slaves, killed them, raped them, molested them, neutered them, everything you could think of. They did it. And so, even though they believed the story of the Bible about Jesus and the Father and the Spirit of God, they didn't believe in the missionaries. So many Indians would not touch a Bible or have anything to do with the God of those white devils. When they started coming over here on this land, they would break in the law. I mean, Indians, if you smoked a pipe with somebody, man, that's holy ground. You did not break your word on pain of your eternal soul. When you took that pipe and smoked that, what they call, it was a ceremonial pipe, and I have one around here someplace. You smoked that pipe. When you put that pipe together, you're calling God, calling Elohim. You know, Wakan Tonka, Tonka Shila, Skon Taku, Skon Skon. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are called together to witness what you're about to do. And when you commit that bereath, that covenant, with another man, you did not break it on pain of eternal damnation. And so they didn't understand why white people could come over here and swear by the eternal God and they go around and break their word. They have to be something kind of animal walking on two legs that look like a man. No human being. And what is the name for Cherokee, Marilyn?
Cherokee.
What does that mean? Cherokee.
I don't
Choctaw. Lakota. Dakota. Nakota.
The people?
Cheyenne. The people. The human beings. They call themselves the human beings because they all believed in God and they all believed that you had to respect God. Most of all, you could, when you made a covenant with God, you could not break it. And when they came in, when the white man came into this area, Alexis Goody was the first Indian agent in Kern County, in this area where we are. And he lived like an Indian. And he tried to relate to the other white men how honorable these savages were. And they would try to move from one group of Indians into another area, and they moved those Indians in there, and the Indians would sit down and starve to death. They wouldn't hunt, they wouldn't fish, they wouldn't take anything off the trees, they wouldn't do anything. And they said, "Why are you dying?" "Because our fathers made a treaty with these people, and we promised them that we will not eat their produce, their fish, their elk, their deer, or anything." "Yeah, but your fathers are dead." "Yeah, but God isn't. He was still there." So you can see, and then I did these stories so the Indian people could be brought back to God, and I use a lot of Indian illustrations saying, I said, "See, what our fathers taught, our grandfathers taught, is what the Bible teaches. It's one message. One message. A message of fidelity to God and honor." Yes, Brother Ray.
Does that fit in with the Qumrans? The Qumran people?
Oh, the Qumranians? The Qumrans were actually, they go way back about 1,000 B.C. Some of these were priests that were exiled. When Herod took power, he killed a lot of the priests. A lot of them ran down to Qumrans and lived in isolation, like the Waldenses did in the valleys of the Piedmont and all that. They went down there to Qumran because nobody wanted to come down there. You know, rough country, you know. This is wilderness, man. Hardly lived, but they went down there and they wrote the Bible. And they wrote the book of Enoch. They wrote all of these old scriptures. The book of Enoch is a book of eschatology, of the last things. And they all believed and looked at that. And when John the Baptist came, many of them accepted him. But the book of Hebrews is written, many people believe, to try to get those Qumranians back into Christianity because they were so instilled and steeped in Judaism. And so that's why the book of Hebrews was written. Anything else? Sharon, do you have any questions? No questions? How about a Carol? Got any questions? Mary Lynn.
Maybe 2 days later.
2 days later? All right. Brother Roger. All right, Christine, you're here now. You got any questions? Any more questions?
No, that was the one that was really in my mind that I said, next time I see him, I'm going to ask that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being
there.
Yes. Yeah, that's a Dramas, the creepers.
He must have allowed the snake. That was the evil thing.
That's right, he's a creeper.
Yeah, he's a creeper.
So is a possum and a raccoon and all of these. Our little cat just died here a while back, little Stripe. And she looked, her fur was so thick, just like a raccoon's fur. Like a raccoon in the middle of wintertime. She was so beautiful. She went blind. Could not see where she was going or anything. Well, we all see death and dying and all of these things. In the seventh chapter, we're going to see a little bit more. We're going to see a lot of death and dying, but we're going to see new life spring up on the earth. All right? Anything? Anything more on this one? I may preach another one. Marilyn, you want to dismiss us in prayer, please?
Enjoy it, and thank you for
your many blessings. Amen.
Amen.